fiends and lovers here in the chill room. It's 2:18. A long weekend. You don't deserve this. You're not good enough.
Hey, what do you think you're doing over there? Stop doing that. Don't think about that. You're all these rolls in your body. Nah. You're not mad. You're all these rolls and there's too much you can do. Nah. There's never anything you can do. There's too much you can do. You're not mad. There's never anything you can do. Too much you can do. There's never. There's never anything you can do. There's too much you can do. It's never gonna work. It'll never work out. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. You deserve worse. It's bad now, but if you deserve worse, you deserve worse. Worse. You deserve worse. It's bad now, but if you deserve worse, you deserve worse. You deserve worse. It's bad now, but if you deserve worse, you deserve worse. You deserve worse.
Yeah.
down. He was still sitting up in the bed, listening, just as I have done, night after night, hearkening to the death watches on the wall. Presently, I heard a slight groan, and I knew it was the groan of mortal terror. It was not a groan of pain or of grief. Oh, no. It was the low, stifled sound that arises from the bottom of the soul when overcharged with awe. I knew the sound well. Many a night, just at midnight, when all the world slept, it had welled up from my own bosom, deepening with its dreadful echo the terrors that distracted me. I say I knew it well. I knew what the old man felt and pitied him, although I chuckled at heart. I knew that he had been lying awake ever since the first slight noise when he had turned in the bed. His fears had been ever since growing upon him. He had been trying to fancy them causeless, but could not. He had been saying to himself, "It is nothing but the wind in the chimney, chimney in the chimney. It is only a mouse crossing the floor, or it is merely a cricket which has made a single chirp." Yes, he has been trying to comfort himself with these suppositions, but he had found all in vain. All in vain, because death, in approaching him, had stalked with his black shadow before him and enveloped the victim. And it was the mournful influence of the unperceived shadow that caused him to feel, although he neither saw nor heard, to feel the presence of my head within the room. When I had waited a long time, very patiently, without hearing him lie down, I resolved to open a little, a very, very little crevice in the lantern. So I opened it. You cannot imagine how stealthily, until at length a single dim ray, like the thread of a spider, shot from out the crevice and full upon the vulture eye. It was open, wide, wide opened, and I grew furious as I gazed upon it. I saw it with perfect distinctness, all a dull blue, with a hideous veil over it that chilled the very marrow of my bones. But I could see nothing else of the old man's face or person, for I had directed the ray as if by instinct, precisely upon the damned spot. And now, have I not told you that you mistake for madness, that what you mistake for madness is but over-acuteness of the senses? Now, I say, there came to my ears a low, dull, quick sound, such as a watch makes when enveloped in cotton. I knew that sound well, too. It was the beating of the old man's heart. It increased my fury, as the beating of a drum stimulates the soldier into courage. But even yet I refrained and kept still. I scarcely breathed. I held the lantern motionless. I tried how steadily I could maintain the ray upon the eye. Meantime, the hellish tattoo of the heart increased. It grew quicker and louder, and quicker and louder every instant. The old man's terror must have been extreme. It grew louder, I say, louder every moment. Do you mark me well? I have told you that I am nervous. So I am. And now, at the dead hour of the night, amid the dreadful silence of that old house, so strange a noise as this excited me to uncontrollable terror. Yet, for some moments longer, I refrained. I refrained and stood still. Yet the beating grew louder, louder. I thought the heart must burst. And now a new anxiety seized me. The sound would be heard by a neighbor. The old man's hour had come. With a loud yell, I threw open the lantern and leaped into the room. He shrieked once, once only. In an instant, I dragged him to the floor and pulled the heavy bed over him. I then smiled gaily to find the deed so far done. But for many minutes, the heart beat on with a muffled sound. This, however, did not vex me. It would not be heard through the wall. At length, it ceased. The old man was dead. I removed the bed and examined the corpse. Yes, he was stone dead. I placed my hand upon the heart and held it there many minutes.
You say this train give out right. You don't worry me. And all the world's taken side. You don't worry me. 'Cause in my path, life is sweet. Just as any bomb you meet. You may say, I ain't free. Well, it don't worry me. Everybody sing. It don't worry me. You may say, I ain't free. It don't worry me. Come on, everybody. It don't worry me. It don't.
Think so no longer when I describe the wise precautions I took for the concealment of the body. The night waned, and I worked hastily, but in silence. First of all, I dismembered the corpse. I cut off the head, and the arms, and the legs. I then took up 3 planks from the flooring of the chamber, and deposited all between the scantlings. I then replaced the board so cleverly, so cunningly, that no human eye, not even his, could have detected anything wrong. There was nothing to wash out, no stain of any kind, no blood spot whatever. I had been too wary for that. A tub had caught all. When I had made an end of these labors, it was 4:00, still dark as midnight. As the bell sounded the hour, there came a knocking at the street door. I went down to open it with a light heart, for what had I now to fear? There entered three men who introduced themselves with perfect suavity as officers of the police. A shriek had been heard by a neighbor during the night. Suspicion of foul play had been aroused. Information had been lodged at the police office, and they, the officers, had been deputed to search the premises. I smiled, for what had I to fear? I bade the gentlemen welcome. The shriek, I said, was my own in a dream. The old man, I mentioned, was absent in the country. I took my visitors all over the house. I bade them search, search well. I led them at length to his chamber. I showed them his treasures, secure, undisturbed. In the enthusiasm of my confidence, I brought chairs into the room and desired them here to rest from their fatigues. While I myself, in the wild audacity of my perfect triumph, placed my own seat upon the very spot beneath which reposed the corpse of the victim. The officers were satisfied. My manner had convinced them. I was singularly at ease. They sat, and while I answered cheerily, they chatted familiar things. But ere long, I felt myself getting pale and wished them gone. My head ached, and I fancied a ringing in my ears. But still they sat, and still chatted. The ringing became more distinct. It continued and became more distinct. I talked more freely to get rid of the feeling, but I continued to hear it. It continued and gained definitiveness until at length I found that the noise was not within my ears. No doubt I now grew very pale, but I talked more fluently and with a heightened voice. Yet the sound increased, and what could I do? It was a low, dull, quick sound, much such as a sound as a watch makes when enveloped in cotton. I gasped for breath, and yet the officers heard it not. I talked more quickly, more vehemently, but the noise steadily increased. I arose and argued about trifles in a high key and with violent gesticulations, but the noise steadily increased. Oh God, what could I do? I foamed. I raved. I swore. I swung the chair upon which I had been sitting and grated it upon the board, but the noise arose over all and continually increased. It grew louder, louder, louder. And still the men chatted pleasantly and smiled. Was it possible they heard not? Almighty God, no. No, they heard. They suspected. They knew. They were making a mockery of my horror. This I thought and this I think. But anything was better than this agony. Anything was more tolerable than this derision. I could bear those hypocritical smiles no longer. I felt that I must scream or die. And now, again, hark, louder, 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 villainer, louder, villains, villains, louder, villains, villains, I shrieked. Dissemble no more. More. Dissemble no more. More. Dissemble no more. I admit the deed. Tear up the planks.
Here.
Tear up the planks.
Here.
It is the
It is the beating of his hideous heart.
For you whose eyes were open wide, whilst mine refused to see, I'm sore in need of saving grace. Be kind and humor me. I'm lost amidst a sea of weed, where people speak but seldom meet, and grief and life are strange but true. All only die, they seldom cry. An old by any other name, yeah, I know might read more sweet. The sun will never shine upon my field of wheat, but still in closing let me say, for those too sick, yeah, too sick to see, though nothing shows, yeah, someone knows, I wish that
I'm
Thank you.
Tonight on the Chill Room, going on 3 a.m. Judy Collins did Just Like Tom Thumb's Blues. Al Duvall did Five Against One. John Frusciante did Breathe. John Cale did Leaving It All Up to You, Leaving It All Up to You, Leaving It All Up to You, Leaving It All Up to You. Soviet France, Cyclonic Zubalien, Back Loser, Jefferson Airplane, Today, Backwards, Vito Ricci, Cross Count, Invisible Animals, Antarctica, Fiends and Lovers, The Telltale Heart by Edgar Allan Poe, Black Sabbath, Planet Caravan, LB, doing Jealous Guy, LZ, doing Hats Off to Harper, Procol Harum's Quite Rightly So, Camouflage Dance, Your Thrilling Eyes, Lee Ranaldo, Isolation, The Fireman Rushes, Jefferson Airplane, Bear Melt, Fiends and Lovers, On the Chill Room, on Kill Radio, Tonight,
and Lovers,
and You're Not Good Enough,
On the Chill Room,
You're Just Fucking Not Good Enough,
Radio.
Do you understand it?
Tonight,
can you get it through that thick skull of yours? Can you get it into that body? Can you get it into your breast? That you're not good enough.
Skull of yours.
Stay tuned.